الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، إخوان، in a few days we have, as you all know, the blessed, beautiful month of Ramadan upon us. And there is no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it relates to these mawasim and these periods of khair, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the mu'mineen, has blessed the believers, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with these mawasim and these periods wherein the believer in a short space of time is able to receive great benefit. And the month of Ramadan without doubt is from them. And we are oftentimes negligent concerning these mawasim, and that we look upon them as periods of ta'ab and periods of difficulty, periods of hardship, and a month of hunger and thirst. The Salaf of this Ummah, ayyuhal ikhwah, they would consider the month of Ramadan a month that they would supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow them to see that the month they knew was a month that had in it rahmah, that had in it barakah, and that had in it khair for anyone who Allah Azza wa Jal blesses to be alive when it comes about. And that's what we want to mention then in this short sitting, are some of the manners in which the believer should prepare for the coming of this period of khair, and a manner in which the believer, if he looks at his pious predecessors, a manner in which he emulates them in that which they were upon. For indeed the month of Ramadan, ayyuhal ikhwa, Allah Azza wa Jal, every night within the month, has utaqa min al-nar, as is established upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every night in Ramadan there are individuals who are freed from the fire. And if there are any of us who is upon his traversing through the dunya on his way to the nar, then this period, may Allah Azza wa Jal remove us from being among any of those who are on their way to Jahannam wal-iyadu billah. But this period, ikhwan, is one by way of which a person may receive salvation from that. This period is a period of khair, a period of barakah. And thus, preparing for these periods of khair and these mawasim of good are from the characteristics of the believer, that he doesn't just wait for them to come upon him and then he's upset when they arrive. Rather, he prepares for them. He is excited about them coming about because he knows that within them there is good for him as a believer. And so we want to mention some of the manners in which one should prepare for the coming of Ramadan. And the first of those mannerisms we'll mention, ayuhal ikhwa, is that which is connected to the affair of ad-du'a. That which is connected to the believer supplicating as it relates to the month and the coming of the month. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned concerning the month of Ramadan, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر. The month of Ramadan, the lights of which the Quran was revealed in, هدى للناس, as a guidance for the people and a clarification of the guidance, and the Furqan, the book that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, by way of which we have huda and guidance and khair. That book, ayyuhal ikhwa, was revealed in the same month that is close to be upon us. And so if it were the only blessing that was connected to the month, that it is the month of the Quran, it would be sufficient as a barakah and sufficient as fadl. The salaf of this ummah, ayyuhal ikhwa, they would supplicate for the coming of Ramadan, that Allah Azza wa Jal allows Ramadan to come upon them while they are alive. And in regards to that, there is a hadith that we'll look at and that we'll discuss, a popular hadith that is attributed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, Allahumma barik lana fi rajabin wa fi sha'bana wa balighna ar-ramadan. O Allah, bless us in relation to our Rajab, yani the month of Rajab, and the month of Sha'ban, which is a month before Ramadan, and balighna ar-ramadan, and allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. Hadith is a hadith that was collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and likewise Al-Imam Al-Tabarani in Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir, and it is a hadith, though popularly quoted, that is da'if, it is weak. And in its narration, its chain of narration, is a narrator known as Zaida ibn Abi Ruqad, a weak narrator. Among the other defects that are present within the hadith, and so it is a hadith, no doubt, that is da'if. Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, he made mention of one of the weak narrators that are present within the chain of narration, Ziyad al-Numairi. And then he went on to mention, وَزَائِدَ إِبْنِ أَبِي رُقَادْ أَشَدُّ ضَعْفًا مِّنْهُ. زَائِدَ إِبْنِ أَبِي رُقَادْ أَشَدُّ ضَعْفًا مِّنْهُ. He said that this narrator, Ziyad, is weak, and Zaida is even weaker than him. So it is a hadith that is not established upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that which is established is the fact that the salaf of this ummah, they would make dua, they would supplicate for the coming of the month. From those supplications is the narration of Mu'alla ibn al-Fadl, who said, كانوا يدعون الله ستة أشهر أن يبلغهم رمضان ثم يدعونه ستة أشهر أن يتقبله منهم. He said that they used to supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah Azza wa Jal, 6 months before Ramadan, that Allah allowed them to reach Ramadan. And then they would supplicate for 6 months, that Allah Azza wa Jal allow, or that Allah accept that Ramadan from them. Likewise, we have the dua of Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, who would supplicate saying, Allahumma sallimna ila Ramadan, wa sallim lana Ramadan, wa tusallimhu minna mutaqabbila. That he would say, O Allah, cause us to be safe until Ramadan, and safeguard our Ramadan for us, and accept it from us. That is, accept the fast of Ramadan from us. And thus Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, بلوغ شهر رمضان وصيامه نعمة عظيمة. He said, reaching the month of Ramadan and fasting it is a tremendous ni'mah. Ala man aqdarahu Allahu alayhi. For the one who is able to do so, the one who Allah Azza wa Jal gives the ability to do so. وَيَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ حَدِيثَ الثَّلَاثَةَ الَّذِينَ اسْتُشْهِدَ إِثْنَانِ مِنْهُمْ ثُمَّ مَاتَ الثَّالِثِ عَلَى فَرَاشِهِ بَعْدَهُمَا فَرُؤِيَ أَوْ رُؤِيَ فِي النَّوْمِ سَابِقًا لَهُمَا. He said that what will indicate the great virtue of Ramadan is the hadith wherein three individuals passed away. Two of them were martyred. Two of them the messenger had sent out and were martyred. And the three individuals, they stayed with Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu. And so the three individuals, two of them the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani sent out upon a military expedition and they were martyred fi sabilillah. The third of them mata ala farashihi. The third died in his bed. Thereon after Talha, he saw in a dream that the one who died in his bed a year later, he died a year after them, the one who died in his bed, that he was in front of the two that had been martyred. And so he went to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him concerning that. And it was of concern to him because he had two of them, shuhada, two of them martyrs. And so how then would the one who wasn't martyred, who died in his bed, how would he appear to be yani superior to them and in front of them in the dream? And so he went to the Prophet ﷺ concerning the dream to establish whether what he had seen was correct. And so when he went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, أَلَيْسَ صَلَّى بَعْدَهُمَا كَذَا وَكَذَا صَلَى. And in a riwayah, Prophet ﷺ, he said, أَلْفْ وَثَمَانِمِئَ صَلَى. He said, didn't he pray after them such and such prayers? And in one version, 1,800 prayers. Didn't he establish close to 2,000 salawah after them? And that extra year of salah is somewhere in the region of 19,000 raka'ah, which is somewhere in the region of close to 40,000 sajda. He said, أَلَيْسَ صَلَّى بَعْدَهُمَا كَذَا وَكَذَا صَلَى. He said, وَأَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ. And didn't he catch the following Ramadan, yani the Ramadan that they missed? He said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي إِنَّ بَيْنَهُمَا لَأَبْعَدَ مِمَّا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He said, by he in whose hand is my soul, the difference between them is like the difference between the heavens and the earth. Bearing in mind, ikhwan, they were martyred on the battlefield, yet because of the fact that he lived for a year longer, 1 year, and he caught a Ramadan, and he prayed kam salawat, the Prophet ﷺ, he used that in relation to establishing the virtue that he caught. Didn't he pray such and such salah after them? Didn't he catch the month of Ramadan? The difference between him and them is like the difference between the heavens and the earth. 1 year. And thus the salaf of this ummah, they understood, ikhwan, that catching Ramadan and living, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that the best of you are those who حَسُنَ طَالَ عُمْرُهُ وَحَسُنَ عَمَلُ. The one who lives long and his actions are good. And so then, if that is the case with 1 year of Ramadan, then imagine, ayyuhal ikhwah, the understanding that the salaf of this ummah had in relation to this. They perceived its fadl. They perceived its virtue. They understood that this then was a virtuous period, and thus we have them supplicating. And the hadith, ikhwan, Sheikh Nasir declares it sahih in Sahih Sunan Ibn Majah. And so the month of Ramadan, ayyuhal ikhwa, is one that without doubt the salaf of this ummah, they would look forward to. It would give them pleasure, it would give them joy when Ramadan was closed. They loved the fact that it is near. And as our noble brother, our brother Abu Uwais, who passed away relatively recently, he mentioned in his lecture, and it is a reality, we need a Ramadan. He has a lecture entitled, "We Need a Ramadan." And that no doubt is the case. Ikhwan, reflect upon last year's Ramadan. Reflect upon the khair and the virtue that you received in Ramadan. Reflect upon the end of Ramadan, how you were upset, or how you should have been upset at least, when it was ending. Reflect upon the benefit and the change that you felt within yourself during the month. If you were establishing acts of ibadah every night in Ramadan, then think about how you have caught, how you would have caught Laylatul Qadr. Think about how it purged you and it made you feel better, and you came out a better individual after it. That is in relation to what we perceive and what we feel. What then about that which is present within the ghaib, from the khair that Allah Azza wa Jal has written for the one who worships throughout that month, for the barakah, for the ajr, and for the great reward for establishing acts of ibadah throughout the month? If it is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that a person who fasts one day fi sabilillah, that Allah Azza wa Jal distances him from the fire 70 kharifa, 70 autumns, yani 70 years distance, one day, then 30 days of fasting, 30 days, if one day distances us 70 years from the fire. And this is something that we won't perceive now, Ikhwan, but Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day that the sun is drawn close, and on the day that people will be sweating, and on the day that everyone will realize the reality, whether those who actually believed in Yawm al-Qiyamah or those who used to ridicule and mock and reject it, everyone will recognize the reality on that day. And it is then that the virtue of Ramadan, Ikhwan, and this distance between the believer and the fire, it is then that he'll appreciate it. It is then that he'll appreciate the fact that he fasted those days, and that he abandoned his food and drink, which was something in relation to the difficulties that those who are standing Yawm al-Qiyamah will perceive and will receive. It is something, Ikhwan, that will be light. There is not one of them on the day of judgment except that they would wish that they could return back to the dunya and carry out some of those actions and receive some of the khair and the fadl and the virtue that is present within them. And thus, the believer and the salaf of this ummah, they used to supplicate, ayyuhal ikhwah, and we understand why. Another method and another way of preparing, ayyuhal ikhwah, for the coming of Ramadan is by giving thanks at least to Allah Azza wa Jal that He has brought us this close. And unless something were to come upon us, and of course, none of us knows, but unless something were to come upon us with the few days that remain, it is likely, there's a likelihood that Allah Azza wa Jal will bless us to reach it. And that is a ni'mah. Yajib al-shukr. And it is indeed imperative that we thank Allah Azza wa Jal for that. That He has allowed us to reach another period wherein we may earn ajr, have our sins forgiven, earn barakah, and khair, another period where we may catch that night that is equivalent to alf shahr, 1,000 months, or some 83 years in ibadah. Give shukr and give thanks to that. And thus Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةَ ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. That Allah Azza wa Jal wants for you ease, And he doesn't want for you hardship. And this is in relation to Ramadan. Allah wants for you ease. As difficult as some of the days may be. And the difficulty is ordinarily in the first few days for a person who hasn't been acquainted to fasting, or for a person who has been negligent concerning supererogatory fasts. And in the first few days sometimes is a bit difficult. After the first day or two, then he finds himself, he finds the rest of the days easy. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, with this ease, Allah mentions, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ. Allah wants ease for you. وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. And Allah does not want hardship for you. وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ. And He wants for you to complete the days. And thus we will mention that which is related to the intent that we should have. As the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that the one who لَمْ يُبَيِّتَ الصِّيَامِ, the one who does not have the niyyah, and then in some riwayat, لَمْ يُجْمِعْ الصِّيَامِ, the one who does not have in his heart the niyyah to fast before the night, yani before the fajr, فَلَا صِيَامَ لَهُ, then he has no fast. That niyyah should be present for an individual prior to the coming of Ramadan. Since some of Ahlul Ilm discuss whether or not that niyyah has to be present every day in Ramadan, while others hold, like Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah and others, that it is sufficient that a person has that niyyah before the first day of Ramadan. That is, he has the niyyah to fast Ramadan. Since when the month comes, he knows that he's going to be fasting the 30 days. And so him renewing his niyyah is not necessary, because before the month comes upon him, he already has the niyyah to fast the full 30. And that should be his niyyah. That should be his intent. Unlike, ikhwan, that which we hear some of the people, may Allah Azza wa Jal guide them, hear them saying that I'm planning to do 5 days this year, or I should do a week this year, or I'm going to try and work on 10 days this year, or half of Ramadan this year. Ya la ya akhi. The asl and the origin is that we don't enter Ramadan with that niyyah. If something comes upon us and it becomes difficult to fast, then no doubt we take the rukhsa of Allah Azza wa Jal. If we're on a journey, we have a rukhsa, we have an allowance. If we're sick, ill, we have an allowance. But we don't enter upon the month of Ramadan with that niyyah. The niyyah is to complete the full period. When you enter into salah, Allahu Akbar, do we ever enter into salah saying, I'm going to try and get to ruku at least in this salah? I want to at least do a one sajda at least. We enter the salah with the niyyah of completing salah, because it is an act of worship that is a whole. It has a beginning and an end. And kadhalik Ramadan, it is from the five pillars of Islam, ikhwan. The affair is not lib. This affair is not a game, ikhwan. Neither are we children who, yani, whatever days we are able to get them to fast, nurture them upon fasting. We are adults, human beings who are now bound by the sharia, mukallafin. And if that is the case, then we never have that niyyah. Few days, half a month, a week. We're going to fast the start from the beginning of the month, and we have firm resolve to fast till the end of the month. And that is how we approach the month of Ramadan, ayyuhal ikhwa, with that firm resolve. And so we give thanks then that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us to be present, to understand first and foremost the virtue of Ramadan, and that He has allowed us to reach another Ramadan. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, as occurs in his book Al-Adhkar, اِعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ يُسْتَحَبُّ لِمَنْ تَجَدَّدَتْ لَهُ نِعْمَةٌ ظَاهِرَةٌ وَانْدَفَعَتْ عَنْهُ نِقْمَةٌ ظَاهِرَةٌ أَنْ يَسْجُدَ شُكْرًا لِلَّهِ وَيُثْنِي بِمَا هُوَ أَهْلُهُ. That he mentions, know that it is desirable for the one who Allah Azza wa Jal has renewed a blessing for him, or has repelled from him a niqmah, repelled from him something undesirable, something disliked, that yasjud shukran lillah, that he makes a sajda, sajda to shukr, for the tajdeed of that ni'mah, that Allah has renewed that blessing for him, and that he praises him with what he deserves from praise. For indeed it is from the greatest of the ni'am. And so this affair of praising Allah, making supplication, should be coupled, ayyuhal ikhwa, with al-farah. Should be coupled with happiness and good pleasure that these acts are upon us. And that, no doubt, is the third issue that we wish to discuss, that we are pleased with the coming of Ramadan. And as we mentioned in the beginning, we should not have the attitude that Ramadan is coming, subhanallah. Oh, and the days are going to be long this year. Oh, and this and that is going to be hard and difficult. Oh, and it's going to be a trial for me when it comes to work. Oh, and such and such. Oh, and such and such. Complaining about this khair and this barakah and this good and this fadl. Ikhwanis are not from the affairs that we complain about in the this are not from the dunyawi affairs, the dunyawi hardships and difficulties. These are from the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with. And the believer, da'iman wa abadan, he strives with the intent of ridwan rabbahu, of pleasing his Lord, of carrying out that which he knows Allah Azza wa Jalla loves for him and loves to see him carry out. And thus Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentions, all of the actions of Ibn Adam, lahu, are for him, illa sawm. فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. All of the acts of Ibn Adam are his except for fasting. For indeed it is mine, and I reward on the basis of it. And Ahlul Ilm, they mention that one of the reasons that is the case, and one of the reasons we have this statement present within the hadith, because the other actions that a person performs ordinarily, there is some portion of that action that that person receives something from benefit from. When he gives in charity, يعني, he's thanked for his charity, and he knows that even if he's given his charity to someone who is just between him and him, then he knows at least that person will have in his mind, mashallah, يعني, that brother is mashallah. Brother helped me in a situation when nobody else helped me, and he didn't even want anybody to know, mashallah. And it is possible then that he will go and convey between me and you, you know, the brother. And so there is some portion of the action for the person. When he prays, mashallah, he's in the masjid. Brother's always in the masjid, yaqi. When he carries out the other actions that he carries out, there is some portion that the believer receives something from. Of course, he doesn't carry it out for that, but there is some element of benefit that he receives. As far as fasting is concerned, then no one but the servant and Allah truly knows that he's fasting. Nobody. Because no one knows that when that individual leaves the masjid after Salat al-Dhuhr, that he jumps in his car and he takes a quick sip of his Capri Sun and he has a muesli bar that is munching on. Nobody knows. Other than him and Allah. No one knows that truly he has abandoned food and drink in totality. Other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And thus the affair, ikhwan, is an act that is from the greatest of the evidences of the sincerity of the servant. And that is that this individual is not just paying lip service to being a believer. Rather, fi'lan, truly, in that which no one but him and Allah Azza wa Jal knows, truly, he has been cognizant of the muraqabah of Allah Azza wa Jal, the fact that Allah sees him, the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with the action, the fact that Allah will reward him, the fact that there is punishment in breaking the fast intentionally without need. All of these affairs related to the aqeedah, connected to the belief of the servant, the iman of the servant, and they manifest within the act of making siyah. And thus Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, إِلَّا السِّيَامُ وَفِي الرِّوَايَةِ إِلَّا السَّوْمُ فَإِنَّهُ لِي
وأنا أجزي به. It is mine and I reward on its basis. نعم. نعم. And so the believer, إخوان, he has pleasure. He has pleasure. He doesn't dislike these acts of worship. Since disliking acts of worship, إخوان, are from the categories of kufr, are from the things, إخوان, that nullify an individual's Islam. ذلك بأنهم كارهوا ما أنزل الله فأحبط أعمالهم. That is because, as Allah mentions, they disliked what Allah revealed, and so He nullified their deeds. The origin and the asl is we nafrah, we're happy, we love Ramadan, we love the siyam, we love these acts of worship, and we enter the month with every intent and every firm resolve of carrying the act of worship out. قل, as Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned, قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, say, it is with the mercy of Allah, وبرحمته, بفضل الله, it is with the virtue of Allah, or by way of the virtue of Allah, and due to the virtue of Allah and His mercy, that the believer is pleased. فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. يعني on the basis of that, then let them rejoice. Let them be happy. يعني with the virtue of Allah and the mercy. And what is it, إخوان, that Ramadan is filled with? Other than فضل, رحمة, بركة, خير. A month filled with that خير and that بركة and that فضل. Therefore, إخوان, Allah mentions, it is with the fadl of Allah Azza wa Jal, wa bi rahmatihi, and His mercy, فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. Then, let them rejoice over this. Let them rejoice about this. هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. It is better than everything that they gather. The dunya and the wealth and the maal. It is better than all of that. يعني the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His rahmah, and it is that that Allah Azza wa Jalla is established in the month of Ramadan. In that regard, ikhwan, we have a beautiful hadith. Statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أتاكم رمضان شهر مبارك فرض الله عز وجل عليكم صيامه تفتح فيه أبواب السماء وتغلق فيه أبواب الجحيم وتغل فيه مردة الشياطين لله فيه ليلة هي خير من ألف شهر من حرم خيرها فقد هرم. The Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, the month of Ramadan has come upon you. شهر مبارك. It is a blessed month. In it, the doors of the heavens are opened, and the doors of the hellfire are closed. The rebellious shayateen are restrained, and within it there is a night that is better than 1,000 months. Whomsoever is prevented from its good, then he truly has been prevented. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, and the hadith, Sheikh Nasir declares it authentic in Sahih Sunan al-Nasa'i. Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, كيف لا يبشر المؤمن بفتح أبواب الجنان كيف لا يبشر المذنب بغلق أبواب أبواب النيران كيف لا يبشر العاقل بوقت يغل فيه الشياطين ومن أين شبه هذا الزمان زمان أو من أين يشبه هذا الزمان زمان. He said, how would the believer not, or how can he not give glad tidings to, that is the Messenger of Allah, how would he not give glad tidings to the believer, informing him of the fact that the doors of Jannah are opened? How could he not give glad tidings to the believer and the one who has committed sin, informing him of the fact that the doors of Jahannam are closed? How could he not give glad tidings to the aqil, to the intelligent, astute individual, informing him of the fact that the shayateen have been restricted and restrained and chained? He said, and where is there a time that resembles this time? When? What, yani, what period of the month? What month? When is there a time that resembles the month of Ramadan, that has in it this khair, has in it this barakah, and has in it this fadl? And we'll continue inshaAllah after salah. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والى وبعد. So with the coming of the month then, إخوان, another important method of preparation is in relation to the niyyah and al-azam, and that is that a person yanwi al-khayr, yanwi siyam Ramadan, yanwi qiyam Ramadan, yanwi al-sadaqah, yanwi, he makes the intent of establishing khayr throughout the month of Ramadan. He intends khayr. As we mentioned, if something were to come to him, amrun arid, يعني something that prevents him from fasting on a particular day, then hina idhin he has the udhr from Allah Azza wa Jal, and he has a rukhsa and an excuse and an allowance that permits him to break his fast. But the origin is that he enters upon the month with the niyyah, and this niyyah, ikhwan, is aham shay, and it is from the things that Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala advised his son with, his son Abdullah. On an occasion, Imam Ahmad was approached by his son Abdullah, who said, "Oh my father, usini, and he give me some advice, advise me, give me a wasiya, something that I may take from you, may act upon, and for it to be a qaida in my life, and a piece of advice that I've taken from you." And the Prophet, and Imam Ahmad, he mentioned, Ya bunay, anwil khayr. Ya bunay, anwil khayr. And ikhwan, sarahatan, the kalam, as short and concise as it is, we should have it as a qaida in our lives. He said, Ya bunay, anwil khayr. Fa innaka la tazalu bi khayrin ma nawayta al khayr. Ya bunay, anwil khayr. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَزَالُ بِخَيْرٍ مَا نَوَيْتَ الْخَيْرٍ. He said, oh my son, intend good. For indeed you will not cease to be upon good as long as you intend good. يعني عبارة سهلة, but the statement in essence, إخوان, as simple as the statement may sound, reflect upon the statement. Intend good. If a person lives his life intending good, intending khair, embarking upon his affairs, intending what is good. And of course, when we're speaking about good, we're speaking about that which has been established in the book and the sunnah as good. Something established as khair. That if a person sees his day intending good, he ends his day intending khair, Then just as Imam Ahmad said, فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَزَالُ بِخَيْرٍ مَا نَوَيْتَ الْخَيْرِ. You will not cease to be upon good as long as you intend good. And so the affair of the niyat, the affair of the intent of the servant, the intent of the abd, is one that he constantly has to keep himself in check in relation to, in regards to. What did you intend when you made that statement? What did you intend when you said those words? What did you intend by that nasiha? What did you intend by that sadaqah? What did you intend by whatever it is you carry out? هَلْ نَوَيْتَ الْخَيْرِ? Or did you know that in actuality the outcome of what it is you did or said would have been shar, but you carried it out anyway, لِغَرَضٍ فِي نَفْسِكَ, and because of some intent that you had, some goal that you were seeking to achieve. And so this statement, ikhwan, is one that is potent. يَا بُنَيْ أَنْوِ الْخَيْرِ فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَزَالُ بِخَيْرٍ مَا نَوَيْتَ الْخَيْرِ. O my son, intend good, for indeed you will never cease to be upon good as long as you intend it. And so the affair of the niyyah then is one that a person embarks upon Ramadan having that firm resolve that he's going to fast the month of Ramadan, and that he intends more than just the fast of the month. Yani he knows, and I'm sure if he's been practicing for more than a year, he would be acquainted with the other forms of khayr that are present within the Ramadan, that he enters upon the month with the intent to carry those things out. Yani he enters upon the month of Ramadan with the intent of ihsan, of excelling in good. Yani, I'm going to enter upon the month, I'm going to fast the full month. Yani that's a given. Inshallah, I'm going to make qiyam the full month, that's a given. I'm going to give sadaqah as much as possible. The Prophet ﷺ, he was ajwadun nas, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentioned, وَكَانَ أَجْوَدُ مَا يَكُونَ فِي رَمَضَانَ. He was the most generous of the people, and he was the most generous in Ramadan. I want to try and be, you know, try and outdo myself in generosity and charity. And when you reflect upon ourselves, ikhwan, how charitable are we actually, really? Yani, haqiqatan, particularly we who have been nurtured and grown in the West, we're not ordinarily, we're not ordinarily charitable in nature, just standardly. Yani, there has to be some real issue, or some real problem, or some real, yani, crisis for us to give. You know what I mean? But just standardly charitable, and just seeing our days with the intent of giving something away, that is not really from our nature. And that, ikhwan, is the manner in which Allah Azza wa Jalla has referred to the believers throughout the Quran. Give, 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 they give, they give, yatasaddaqoon, they give charity, they spend from what we have given them. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. From the most basic of the characteristics of the believers that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the beginnings of Surah Al-Baqarah, where the description of the believers are mentioned. أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. After aqidah and establishment of salah, مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, they give. And that characteristic then should be one that we need to incorporate into our lives as believers, the believers throughout time, not just the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was a characteristic that was a characteristic of the believers throughout time. The followers of the prophets and the messengers were charitable. Why? Because they put the dunya in its right context. They understood the dunya, and they know and they knew that the dunya is nothing, ikhwan, but a passing amusement. The pomp and glitter of the dunya, they're not affected by it, they're not fazed by it. Na'am, the believer may want a nice spacious house, he may want a nice riding beast, na'am. Those are from the things that are desirable, and establishing the sunnah as desirable. But as far as the, yani, all of the trinkets of the dunya, and they spend their lives just following up and chasing up and amounting the trinkets of the dunya and keeping up with the Joneses, with the new model and the new version and the new the latest edition. That is not the way of the believers, ikhwan. The believer is simple. And he understands that the dunya is something that he benefits from in his journey towards the hereafter. He doesn't focus upon the dunya as the be all and end all. The dunya he understands, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith in the Sunan of Imam Ibn Majah, when a man, or in the presence of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, when some charity was being given out, the Prophet ﷺ, he spoke about how he feared the dunya for them. And so a man among the crowd said, Ya Rasulallah, awa ya'til khayru bishar? He said, O Messenger of Allah, but does khayr bring about shar? Does good bring about evil? And so the Prophet ﷺ remained silent. To the extent that some of the companions, they said, سَمِعَ مَا قَالْ فَكَرِهَ مَا قَالْ, that he heard what he said and he didn't like what he said. And so he repeated it. And the Prophet ﷺ remained silent. And that which was apparent was that he was receiving revelation. And then the Prophet ﷺ asked of the one who asked the question. And he said, I am here, O Messenger of Allah. He said, كَيْفَ قُلْتَ? He said, أَوَ يَأْتِ الْخَيْرُ بِالشَّرْ? Does good bring about evil? And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِنَّ الْخَيْرَ لَا يَأْتِ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٌ أَوَ خَيْرٌ He said, that verily خَيْر does not bring about except khair. Good does not bring about except good. Then he said, but is it good? Is it good? And then he went on to strike an example. And he said that every time the spring comes about, it causes vegetation to grow that causes some of the grazing cattle to die or to come close to dying. Except for one animal, and that is the cow, that eats from that vegetation, eats what he needs from that vegetation. He lies upon his side, he looks at the sun, he urinates, he defecates, he regurgitates what he was eating, and he continues to chew. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala, when he mentions the hadith, he mentions, look how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resembled the dunya in this hadith. It was resembled to the cow is the example of a human being, of a particular human being. But he said, look how the Prophet ﷺ, in relation to the dunya and the outcome of the dunya, he resembled it to la, feces, urine, and vomit. Regurgitation is vomit. Feces, urine, and vomit. That is what the Messenger of Allah resembled the dunya to, akramakumullah. And thus here, ikhwan, the attitude of the believer then is in relation to the dunya. That is his view. He understands that he needs from it, yani that which he needs to survive. And he does that. He takes from it that which he needs to survive and to look after his family and to take care of his responsibilities. But the dunya, ikhwan, he has a view that differs to the view of people ordinarily. And when the believer has that attitude towards the dunya, it is easy for him to give it away. It is easy for him to get rid of it. Particularly since he understands that when he gives it away, he doesn't lose it actually. Allah Azza wa Jal, yani Allah nurtures it, as occurs in another hadith where Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that indeed when a person gives in charity even half a date, then Allah Azza wa Jal nurtures it the same way one of you will nurture his baby horse until it becomes like a jabal, until it becomes like a mountain. So just as you would give, you know, a penny, one half a day to come, what, 5 pence, 10 pence? Yani the value. But Allah Azza wa Jal, when a person gives it away, it doesn't remain, number one, it doesn't remain in its state. And number two, that person doesn't lose it. Allah Azza wa Jal nurtures it. Yani it is increasing in value. And Allah is multiplying it. While that individual doesn't even realize. So the attitude that the believer has is he gives. Small, big, large, he gives. And thus this month of Ramadan, ikhwan, is a month that the Prophet ﷺ was ajwad ma yakun. Then he was the most generous. He was the most charitable. And so from the niyat and from the intent that the believer has when the month is coming, is that he plans for khair. He plans, of course there are things that he was going to carry out anyway, on the basis of the fact that of them being from the fara'il. But then there are other actions that he can do, additional actions that he can do. Min qira'ati al-Qur'an, from giving in charity, that he may not ordinarily be stringent upon throughout the rest of the year, but he sees and he looks upon Ramadan as a month where he must strive and excel, outdo himself in being upon khair, in being upon good, in being charitable, and in carrying out those acts of khair, those acts of righteousness. Let it be a month period that he nurtures himself upon khair if he wasn't upon it before. And oftentimes, ikhwan, we hear brothers saying that, subhanallah, yani I need help, sarahatan. Yani I feel like I'm dying a death. My iman is becoming weak. I'm falling into sins. I'm carrying out certain things that I didn't used to do before. Yani I feel like I'm dying a death. And that, ikhwan, is something that the shaytan, a place that the shaytan has got that servant, or has caused that servant to reach by way of incremental changes within that believer. Those small, subtle, incremental changes that he himself doesn't perceive because they're so minute. And so he looks upon them as irrelevant. It doesn't matter about that. So slowly but surely. And so slowly he loses the miswak. Slowly he abandons the salawat and al-ratiba, and those prayers that he used to pray. Slowly but surely he leaves alone that session of Quran that he used to have upon himself daily, to the extent that he doesn't recite the Quran except sometime in the week, and then he doesn't recite the Quran except sometime in the month, and then he just doesn't recite the Quran. Shaytan slowly but surely removes from him that khair in incremental steps. And this, ikhwan, is a shahr and a month wherein the believer, he renews himself. He looks upon himself and where he is, and then he sees that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him an opportunity to fix himself, to rectify himself, given him an opportunity to start afresh. And that opportunity, it starts, ikhwan, with that which is wajib upon him. If he doesn't choose to do it, well, khalas, there is a month that's wajib upon you. And sometimes we need that. Yani haqiqatan. Sometimes we need something to be binding upon you in order to continue. Because the nafs inclines towards laziness. It inclines towards kasal. And so the nafs sometimes, Ibn Adam needs something to be bound upon, placed upon him, binding. And so this month then, with that which is binding upon the believer, he should accompany it with that which he wishes to be upon after the month, and to continue upon. And so just as he makes the salawat, the siyam and nafila, al-wajiba in Ramadan, have the intent to continue at least with some siyam after Ramadan on a regular basis. Just as he makes qiyam al-layl in Ramadan, he has the intent to continue with qiyam al-layl at least at some time, because he feels the benefit. And we'll make mention of some of the narrations of the Salaf concerning qiyam al-layl. But all of these affairs, ikhwan, he embarks upon Ramadan with the firm intent, with the firm azima, and the firm niyyah, and he remembers the qa'idah, and that principle that Imam Ahmad, he mentioned advising his son, Ya Bunay, Anwil Khair, فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَزَالُ بِخَيْرٍ مَا نَوَيْتَ الْخَيْرٍ.
Now, similarly, Ikhwan, from the affairs that the believer, he prepares for, and that he looks upon the coming month of Ramadan, in relation to, that is preparing with ilm. This is an act of worship that he's about to embark upon, that is from the pillars of Islam, and that his Islam is dependent upon these pillars and the establishment of them. And of course, you're all acquainted with the origin and the asl, that al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal, knowledge comes before statement and action. And thus there are a number of ahkam and a number of rulings related to the month of Ramadan that we need to know if we haven't learnt them and studied them and understood them already. Ahkam and rulings related to the siyam, related to the fast, how is it to be performed? Rulings related to that which is connected to al-iftar, that which is connected to suhoor. Rulings related to the breaking of the fast, when it is permissible, when it is impermissible. Accidental breaking, nisyan, forgetfulness. There are numerous elements and numerous aspects of the month of Ramadan that we need to learn about. The sighting of the moon, how it is done, the end of the month, how it occurs. Eid al-Fitr, that which is related to Zakat al-Fitr. Ahkam and rulings related to the month of Ramadan that we shouldn't allow ourselves to continually, year after year after year, remain ignorant about them. يعني عهد لا ينبغي صراحة, that the believer year after year after year, he doesn't increase in his knowledge of the fiqh of these acts of worship that reoccur. If he's going to be praying five times a day, يخي learn salah, يخي study the ahkam of salah, study the fiqh of salah. We're going to be fasting Ramadan. Ramadan is going to come every year. If Allah blesses you with long life, يخي learn about Ramadan, study Ramadan. Have some fiqh of Ramadan. Throughout your life, you're going to be fasting. This month is going to come. You have children. You have brothers, sisters, cousins, relatives. There are young ones coming up that will ask you. Akhi, have some fiqh of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, in order to advise with it, in order to practice it, in order to be a beneficial, يعني رجل مبارك وامرأة مباركة. Someone who is blessed, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ, in relation to Isa ibn Maryam, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ, and that he made me مُبَارَكَ, source of blessing wherever I am. And Imam Al-Mujaddid Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he used to make that dua. He used to supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jal, Oh Allah, make me mubarakan aynama kunt. Make me blessed wherever I am. A source of blessings. Someone who the people benefit from. Someone who the people receive barakah from in relation to the advice, the nasa'ih, the nasiha, the teaching, the learning, the studying that one may take from that individual. Be a source of barakah. And that source of barakah, ikhwan, as the Salaf used to say, al-ilmu wasila ila kulli fadila. Ilm is a path to every fadila, to every virtue. And that ilm then, as it relates to the month of Ramadan, of course, would return back to a knowledge of the ahkam of siyam, and that which is related to the fast itself, and that which we're unaware of, then we ask the people of knowledge, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of the reminder if you do not know. And then once we know, we have that extra benefit, that added benefit. The more we learn, the more we understand, the more we know, the more we're able to be of benefit to the people, the more we're able to be of benefit to our families, our children, and ourselves. Now, similarly, one of the things that we should look at is that we should make this for us, for ourselves, a month of Tawbah. Though the origin is that the believer, he makes Tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal constantly. As the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that إِنِّي أَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً. And in a hadith مئة مرة. And those are hadith, the well-known hadith of Aghar and others from one of the companions. A hadith, ikhwan, that revolve around the fact that the Prophet ﷺ 70-100 times a day used to make tawbah. The one who Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned concerning him, that he forgave his previous and future sins. 70, 100 times. What about then ourselves, who sin night and day, to the extent that some of those sins, they just become aidi, they become yani, common practice. We forget the fact that they're sins even. And so this month, ikhwan, with the coming of the month of Ramadan, one of the things that we should intend with the month, let it be a month of purification, a month that we purge ourselves within it. That darkness that we feel in, as Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Indeed, there has been ran upon their qulub, ran upon their hearts. And that ran, or that darkness that has overcome their hearts, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned and describing the ran, he said that it is as though the heart is within this hand, and he opened his hand and outstretched his fingers, the palm of his hand. And then he said, and then he sins and this occurs, and he closed the finger. He said, then he sins and this occurs. Then he sins and this occurs. If he closes another finger, he sins and this occurs until his heart is covered. And this is the ran that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran. Slowly but surely, ikhwan, those sins overcome and encompass the qalb to the extent that it is covered in darkness. And the believer himself, when he compares himself at the best of his years to the years where the shaitan has got the better of him, he feels the difference himself. He feels that there has been a change. He feels he's not the same. And if he's honest, he knows why there is a difference. And thus, ikhwan, this month is another opportunity. Another opportunity to fix yourself and rectify yourself. Another opportunity to purge the qalb, clean the heart. Another opportunity, ikhwan, to return that heart back to its previous state. Not all of these realities, ikhwan, Allah Azza wa Jal has given us this month. Yani, a month that is khair and barakah, fadl, virtue. A month that the believer embarks upon with all of this khair within it, and with this fantastic outcome for the believer, aiding him upon his journey. Just as the person who's upon a journey on a motorway and he's been traveling for weeks, and then he comes to a pit stop, and so he has an oil change, changes his fuel filter, he changes his petrol, his oil filter, fuels up, checks his water, even buys one of those little trees, fragrance trees for the inside of the car. Yeah, and he's able to continue upon the journey. Car feels nice. There's a wash. Valid. Car feels nice. He can continue upon the journey again. Ramadan, for the believer, he looks at it the same way that one would look upon that complete clean for the car. Rectify the heart, rectify the soul. Yeah, and reacquaint yourself with certain actions. Yeah, and remove from yourself some of those things that you know have been holding you back and creating problems for you in relation to your journey towards Allah Azza wa Jal. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal, jami'an, all of you, because none of you are free of sin. Make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal, all of you, أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, that by way or perchance you will receive success. And so this shahr, this month, is a month, ayyuhal ikhwa, of preparing by way of the tawbah, by way of rectifying the heart of the believer by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وربكم أعلم بما في نفوسكم إن تكونوا صالحين فإنه كان للأوابين غفورا. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that indeed your Lord knows better what is within yourselves. إن تكونوا صالحين, but if you are righteous, فإنه كان للأوابين غفورا. Then indeed Allah Azza wa Jal is oft forgiven to the awwabin. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, he said the awwabin are those who sin, then make tawbah. Then they sin and make tawbah. Then they sin and make tawbah. And that, ikhwan, is the nature of the believer. He sins and then he makes tawbah, then he forgets. Then he falls again, he makes tawbah, he's reminded, then he rectifies himself, then he forgets. مَا مِن مُؤْمِنِ, as the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, مَا مِن مُؤْمِنٍ إِلَّا وَلَهُ ذَنْبٌ يَأْتَادُهُ الْفَيْنَةَ بَعْدَ الْفَيْنَةَ أَوْ إِثْمٌ هُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَيْهِ لَا يُفَارِقُهُ حَتَّى يُفَارِكَ الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنْ خُلِقَ مُفَتَّنًا تَوَّابًا نَسِيًّا إِذَا ذُكِّرَ ذَكَرَ. He said that indeed there is no believer except that he has a sin that he performs from time to time, or a sin that he remains upon, doesn't leave it until he leaves the dunya. وَإِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنْ خُلِقَ مُفَتَّنًا. For certainly the believer is created under trial. تَوَّابًا, one that constantly turns in tawbah. نَسِيَّا, and then he forgets. إِذَا ذُكِّرَ ذَكَرَ, but if he is reminded, he'll remember. And the believer, the nature of the believer is the shaitan causes him to forget. But if he stopped and he's reminded and then he thinks and reflects on himself, he remembers. That is the nature of the believer. The believer is khair. The believer is tayyib. The believer is tayyib. And thus that يعني طيبت نفس المؤمن, the good soul of the believer, causes these things to be of benefit for him. Causes these things to rectify him, to fix him, to make him better. And the month of Ramadan, ayyuhal ikhwa, is from those periods wherein the believer, he rectifies himself, he corrects himself. It makes him better, and thus he loves when it comes. Na'am, if he's not acquainted with fasting, he hasn't fasted the whole year, initially, and in that first day or so, and it's going to be tricky. But after the first day, alhamdulillah, the rest of the month is easy. And when the month comes to an end, he wishes that there was another 30 days to continue. And he doesn't want it to come to an end too quick. He wishes that it would continue because of what he feels and what he perceives of khair and of benefit. And so from the benefits, ikhwan, that are present within this month is the Qiyam al-Layl. The Qiyam al-Layl, of course, ikhwan, was the da'ab and was the path and the method and the way of the Salihin, the way of the people of righteousness. And our a'imma, ayyuhal ikhwa, our great imams, from the characteristics, when one reads their biographies, from the characteristics that you'll find among all of them is that they had a portion of the night, a portion standing before Allah Azza wa Jal, some of them on a daily basis. But that which is established is that they would regularly do so. They would regularly do so. And as the Prophet mentioned on an occasion concerning Abdullah ibn Umar, Ni'ma al-Rajul Abdullah. Law ma qama min al-layl. Aw law qama min al-layl. Abdullah is a blessed man if only he would stand by night. And so Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, after I heard that statement, I'll never leave Qiyam al-Layl. Prophet said, you're a blessed man, just this one issue. He said, after that, I never left Qiyam al-Layl. And that was a da'ab of the believer, and it causes the believer, ikhwan, or it يعني, refines the believer. He becomes mulammi'. He becomes illuminated, radiant, because of this Qiyam al-Layl. Even if he performs it once a week, once every 2 weeks, once every now and again. But those hours, ikhwan, particularly in this era, this time in this time of the year, is likely you're going to be up at the time of Qiyam. So rather than Xbox and PlayStation, Rakatain. Khair luck. Much better for you. Much better, Ikhwan. You probably complete your level as well if you. Much better for you, Ikhwan, than wasting ضياء الوقت with that which has no benefit for you. No benefit in the dunya, no benefit in the akhirah. يعني just ضياء الوقت. Exactly what the shaitan wants for you. Concerning Qiyam al-Layl, Ikhwan, we have a number of statements of the Salaf of this Ummah. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions, إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيُصَلِّي بِاللَّيْلِ فَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ فِي وَجْهِهِ نُورًا يُحِبُّهُ عَلَيْهِ كُلْ مُسْلِمْ فَيَرَاهُ مَنْ لَمْ يَرَهُ قَتْ فَيَقُولْ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّ هَذَا الرَّجُلْ. He said that indeed a man will pray by night and Allah Azza wa Jal will place nur in his face that will be seen by every mu'min, every believer, to the extent that a man who has never seen him before will see him and say, I love this man. Just, it's the first time he sees him. Well, I love this man. And that is from the effects and from the athar of Qiyam al-Layl. Nur, light, that Allah Azza wa Jal puts in and places in the face of the man who makes Qiyam. Similarly, we have the statement of Al-Hasan al-Basri. It was said to Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, ما بال المتحجدين بالليل من أحسن الناس وجوها. And it was said to Hasan al-Basri, why is it that those who make Qiyam al-Layl, those who make Tahajjud by night, why is it that they have the best face, the best faces? يعني from the, يعني the most beautiful faces. فقال لهم لأنهم خلوا بالرحمن فألبسهم من نوره. He said that is because of the fact that they were alone with Ar-Rahman, and so he adorned them with his nur. And the aqwal, ikhwan, and the statements of the Salaf, no doubt, are kathira. The statements of the Salaf are plenty in relation to Qiyam al-Layl. Well, we have that which is legislated upon the believer in the month of Ramadan from the Qiyam, alongside the Siyam. And so here again an increase in the khair and the barakah. And of course, Ikhwan, this jalsa would not be complete if we didn't mention that which is related to Qira'atul Quran. The affair of the recitation of the Quran, of course, the Salaf of this Ummah, ayyuhal ikhwa, they saw this month as a month of concentration upon the Quran. And we saw that the Salaf, from them, the great A'imma of Hadith, they would in many cases abandon the riwayah of hadith in the month of Ramadan and turn towards the recitation of the Quran. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, when the month of Ramadan would come upon him, then he would taraka jami'ul a'mal, yani his regular actions, he would leave them, wa aqbala ala qira'ati al-Quran, and he would turn towards the recitation of the Quran. He would turn towards the recitation of the Qur'an. Likewise, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, it is mentioned concerning him that in the day, yani during the daytime, in the days of Ramadan, that he would have a khatma every day. That he would have a khatma a day. And he would complete the Qur'an every day. And some, yani, dispute concerning whether it is possible even to do so. But yumkin, yani, of course it depends upon the speed of the qira'ah, and depends upon the amount of time that a person dedicates upon it. But these statements are attributed to more than one of the Salaf, more than an Imam al-Bukhari. And then it is said that Every three nights in Qiyam, he would complete the Qur'an. So in the day he would complete it, and then every three nights, he would complete it. So he would recite 10 juz a night. And then next three nights, 10 juz again. Next three nights, 10 juz again. And so when you're wondering, subhanAllah, where did you find that verse? Yani the Qur'an. In Ramadan alone, every day khatma, and every 3 days three nights a khatma. And imagine what that would do to the heart of the believer. Yani the Qur'an is in his heart, and not to that extent, on that level. Huh? If you were to read any book, from the books that were written by human beings, every night, and then every day, and then every night, you would recite it over 3 days. You know the book inside out. And so the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, who wouldn't want to? Not just ikhwan have an overview, a general knowledge, a general is hifdh la ba's. And even those of us who have completed the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, can you even really refer to yourself as a hafiz fi'lan? Hifdh require muraja'a. But ikhwan, the asl is there shouldn't be a book that we're more familiar with haqiqatan than the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. The pure, unadulterated kalam of Allah, the pure speech of Allah, not a harf, not a letter, has been incorporated into the book from the letters that are incorporated by human beings. Kalam Rabbi. Which book, ikhwan, should we really know better than that book? Haqiqatan. And that is all of us, ikhwan. We should really make aib of ourselves, of our own selves. Criticize yourself. Which book? Is there a book that I'm more familiar with than the book of Allah Azza wa Jal? If so, why? The pure, unadulterated book of Allah. That book, ayyuhal ikhwa, that on the day of judgment it will be said to the Qari al-Quran, read and ascend as you used to read in the dunya. And so his place in Jannah will be upon the last letter that he recites. Read and ascend. And we allow our years to pass, ikhwan, and rarely read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, much less a khatma a night. And then another issue that we should ask ourselves is, have we ever made a khatma? If we're not memorized, if we haven't made hifdh of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal completely, have we ever recited the Quran in completion? Khatma wahida fi hayatina. One complete recitation of the Quran. That we recited the book of Allah from Fatiha to Nas. If not, why not? This is an opportunity, ikhwan. And it is coming upon us in a few days. And so the month, ayyuhal ikhwa, is a month that is filled with khair, that is filled with barakah, that is filled with fadl. And we'll round up with this beautiful statement of Imam Hassan al-Basri rahimahullahu ta'ala. Hassan al-Basri rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَ رَمَضَانَ مِضْمَارًا لِخَلْقِهِ يَسْتَقْبِلُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى مَرْضَاتِهِ فَسَبَقَ قَوْمٌ فَفَازُوا وَتَخَلَّفَ آخَرُونَ فَخَابُوا فالعجب من اللاعب الضاحك في اليوم الذي يفوز فيه المحسنين فيه المحسنون ويخسر فيه المبطلون. He said that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal has made Ramadan a receptacle for his creation. And indeed, those, or from them, from his creation, are those who hasten towards it and towards his good pleasure. And so those who hasten towards it are successful. Those who fall back, he said, some people hastened towards it and thus were successful. While others fell back in relation to Ramadan and they were destroyed and they lost out. He said, so it is amazing, or I am amazed at the one who plays and laughs at a time and in a day and upon a day when those who do good receive success. Yeah, I need the days of Ramadan. And when those who yakhsir, or a day that the mubtilun, the people of falsehood, or the people who waste time, will lose out in relation to it. The month, ikhwan, that is filled with khair and barakah, shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an, هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد فيه الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى يوفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضاه، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. حياكم الله. What is the ruling for the pregnant woman? I presume the questioner means in relation to her fast. The woman who is pregnant or breastfeeding, as is the case with the elderly person, the origin in relation to them is she fears for her child, then she breaks her fast and she feeds a poor person a day. If she fears for her child, she breaks her fast and feeds a poor person a day. And that is the manner in which Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned in relation to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامٌ مِسْكِينٌ. Upon those who are able to fast but choose not to fast, and they pay the expiation of طَعَامٌ مِسْكِينٌ, they pay the expiation of feeding a poor person. And that was an ayah that was abrogated. It was an ayah that was revealed in the beginnings of the legislation of fasting, when fasting was optional. Initially, when fasting was legislated, it was optional. You could fast if you wish to fast, and you could break your fast and leave it if you so wished. But if you chose not to fast, then you feed a poor person a day. And that was in the beginning, initially, until Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن الآية. Within that verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that whomsoever, فمن شهد فيهم الشهر فليصمه. وَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْهُ. Now whomsoever witnesses the month from among you, let him fast it. And that ayah, that whomsoever witnesses the month, then let him fast it, then it became wajib for any mukallaf to fast during the month of Ramadan if you witness the month, if you're present or you're alive when the month comes about. Except as Ibn Abbas, he mentioned, and because this verse abrogated the previous verse, the optional verse, except Ibn Abbas mentioned, for the pregnant woman, the breastfeeding woman, and the elderly person. That ayah, يعني وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين, upon those who are able to fast but choose not to, then they should feed a poor person. That ruling Ibn Abbas mentioned remained for the pregnant woman, for the breastfeeding woman, and for the elderly person. And so Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and others, he would gather at the end of Ramadan, he would gather 30 poor people upon one large platter of food and feed them all at once. And that was the manner in which he would feed. So it is possible
that a person, he may feed on a daily basis, or he can leave it to the end of Ramadan, gather 30 people upon a platter of food, and that will be sufficient. And so the breastfeeding woman or the pregnant woman, if they fear for their child, while if it is that they are suffering from something, from sickness themselves, not something that they fear for their child, then the origin is that the ruling that is upon them is the ruling that is upon the sick person. The ruling that is upon the sick person. And that is that she makes those days up. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. If it is a type of sickness, ikhwan, that she does not, as the scholars mention, la yurja bur'uhu, that the sickness that she doesn't expect or he doesn't expect to be cured from, yani a terminal illness, then the one who has a terminal illness, then he feeds a poor person a day, and that is all that is upon them. The one who has a terminal illness, an illness that they do not expect to be cured from, then they feed a poor person a day, and that is sufficient. Allah Ta'ala. Similarly, as it relates to an illness like diabetes, which in essence is from the types of illnesses that ordinarily you can of course cure diabetes. It is possible, but yani the general and the origin and the hukum is upon that which is ghalib. The general order of the day is that those who have diabetes ordinarily yani live the rest of their lives with diabetes. And so it would return back to their ability or inability to fast because of their illness. If they're able to fast, it doesn't affect their diabetes, it doesn't affect their blood sugar or what have you, then they fast. But if they find fasting creates or causes a real problem for them, difficulty for them, or that their doctors have advised that such and such a condition will come upon them, or an illness, or their state will become worsened, then likewise the hukum of feeding a poor person a day is applicable to them. Is applicable likewise to them. No. How would you advise the working person to spend Ramadan and to benefit the most from it? It depends on the type of work that he does or she does. Though the origin is that the khitab is to the rijal. It depends upon the type of work that he does. If it is that the type of work that he does is work that he can combine with his work acts of khair, then he spends his time upon acts of khair. So mathalan, he does security. And he's securing some units that are not even being used, for example. And they're not even let yet. But he's on a site of units, and he doesn't really have to do much. He sits in an office and he spends his time in the office. If that is the case, then come to work with books, kutub, audios, and spends his time upon khair while he's at work. Yumkin. Of course, I'm not telling you to shy away from your work and leave your responsibility as a worker. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is, where it is possible to incorporate khair, do so. And as long as it doesn't affect the work that you carry out. For example, a man that works in a factory, works on a lathe all day, the same thing all day. And he's just knocking out some shapes or cutting out something out of with a lathe. If that is his work, and he knows he's not required to necessarily listen to or hear any command from anybody, he comes to work, he does that all day, then he goes home, and he got to work with some headphones, and with an iPad full of audio, the Islamic audio, and he listens to that while he's working. يعني دروس محاضرات يعني or that he memorizes something, he has something in his iPad that he's memorizing, and so he listens to it, plays it back, he listens to it, or if he has the type of device that he's able to loop an audio, and he puts it on loop and he leaves it looping all day. He leaves work and he's memorized a new surah, leaves work, he's memorized a few pages of a book that he was memorizing, and so on. Benefit, use the time well, ikhwan. Or that he listens to muhadhara or a lecture. Or he's following, he's working through some durus. He's memorized usul al-thalatha. And he's listening to some of the durus of some of the mashaykh explaining the book. And there's a number of things that can be done for the one who is at work. As long as those activities don't, of course, encroach upon your responsibility as a employee. Naam. Allahu ta'ala alam. سؤال كيف للمسلم ترك الذنب الذي لازمه كما ذكرته في الحديث. How is the believer to leave a sin that he has been upon for a period, as has been mentioned in يعني the hadith that we mentioned earlier. إخوان, there are certain sins that come upon the believer and they are not sins that he regularly practices. الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى, he mentions in relation to the sin that the sin starts out as a intent, or if one as a fikra. The sin starts out as a as an idea in his head, an idea in his mind. He said, so repel the fikra, repel the idea. Whenever the idea comes, repel it. For if you do not repel it, then it will grow to become a niya. It will grow to become an intent. He said, so repel the intent. For if you do not repel it, then it will grow to become azima. It will grow to become firm resolve. That is, it starts as an idea, it becomes an intent to carry something out, then it grows. If he leaves it, it grows. And it festers until it becomes azima, firm resolve. And he is definite, he wants to do it, has the firm resolve that he's going to carry it out. He said, so repel the azima, repel that firm resolve. Question. Flight time 9 p.m. Leaving home 5 p.m. I'm literally reading it. That's what's on the paper. Question. Flight time 9 p.m. Leaving home 5 p.m. Can that day be considered safar? Can that day be considered travel? You understand the question? He's saying the flight is at 9 p.m. I leave my home at 5 p.m. for the flight, which is at 9 p.m. Can that day be considered a journey? That, of course, would return back to a number of factors. Number one, when you leave your home, are you leaving your hometown or leaving home, i.e. you're leaving your house, but you're still within your hometown? If it is that you're leaving your house and you're still within your hometown up until the time of iftar, then it is not safar, since the safar does not occur until after iftar. 9 o'clock is iftar. But if it is that the safar, or in order to get to the airport, مثلا, the airport is in another city, he leaves his home at 5 o'clock, it's still the middle of the day, then that is considered a safar. As far as whether or not he'll break his fast, then that would return back to what he himself chooses in terms of his ability to continue and to finish the fast. There are a number of ahadith that return back to the issue of fasting upon a journey. From them, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, لَيْسَ مِنَ الْبِرِّ أَسَّوْمُ فِي السَّفَرِ, that it is not from righteousness to fast while upon a journey. And likewise, the fact that on an occasion the Prophet ﷺ traveled with some of his companions, and some of them broke their fast and some of them fasted, and none of them dispraised the other. And so what we understand then is that the Prophet ﷺ on an occasion, or the companions who were with the Prophet ﷺ, some of them fasted, some of them broke their fast, and they were all upon a journey. Which returns back to the fact that if a person finds the ability to fast and wishes to continue his fast, then he may do so. And if it is that the person who is fasting, that he finds difficulty in the fast because of the journey, then the rukhsa, the permissibility of breaking the fast, is likewise open to him. So if he feels that there isn't any harm, there isn't any hardship, then he continues and completes his fast if he so wishes. Or if it is that he feels that there is hardship, there is difficulty, then the option to break the fast is there. Even if he doesn't find hardship, but he wishes to break the fast because he's on a journey, then the udhr likewise permits, that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah and others have mentioned. As far as the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, لَيْسَ مِنَ الْبِرَّ الصَّوْمُ فِي السَّفَرِ, then that, as the scholars mention, is in relation to the person who fasts while he is on a journey and he finds difficulty doing so. So he continues to fast, he's upon a journey, he finds difficulty doing so, which occurred when one of the companions collapsed during a journey, while upon a journey, while fasting. So the Prophet ﷺ made the statement then, لَيْسَ مِنَ الْبِرْ أَسَّوْمُ فِي السَّفَرِ, it is not from righteousness to fast upon a journey. So if it is that a person finds difficulty while he's upon the journey, it is hard for him to fast, but he continues to fast anyway, then this is not from righteousness. Allah Azza wa Jalla has not legislated the Sharia in order to be difficult and hard upon the believer. The idea is longevity, that he continues upon the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and thus Allah has legislated these times of ease. And there is a principle that the scholars mention as it relates to the difficulties. Al-mashaqqatu tajlibu taysir. Difficulty brings about taysir. Yani hardship, whenever it comes about, we find that the Sharia facilitates ease in relation to that hardship and legislates the rukhas, legislates allowances. And so wherever we find hardship and difficulty, Allah has legislated an allowance. If it's difficult for a person to stand in prayer, it is permissible for him to sit. If it is difficult for him to sit, he may lie down. If it's difficult for him to fast while upon a journey, Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated that he breaks his fast. If it's difficult for him to fast because of an illness, Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated that he may break his fast because of the illness. And so the Sharia of Allah, as scholars discuss the affair of the maqasid of the Sharia, the intents of the Sharia, is that the Sharia is not and was not revealed in order to be hard and burdensome upon you. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jalla has legislated the Sharia at a similar level of difficulty as one's ordinary day-to-day affairs. And so it is not something that it is impossible for the believer to carry out. And just like we hear people saying, come on, you know, 18 hours, that's impossible, yakhi. So we're just going to fast 6 hours. Which is some of the fatwas that you'll hear. Yeah, we're just going to fast 6 hours, or we're going to fast 9 hours. We're going to fast the same amount of time that they fast, for example, in the Arabian Peninsula. Yeah, 9 hours or what have you. Because more than 9 hours is just difficult. Yumkin, ikhwan. It's very yumkin. And all of us fasted last year, and it was beautiful. Yeah, and it was lovely. There wasn't any issue whatsoever in relation to the fast. The fast was easy. In fact, it was possibly easier than some of the shorter years. And no difficulty, no burden in it whatsoever. The fast was one that went quickly, so it isn't in any way, or there isn't any validity in their claims that it is impossible and that it is too difficult and so on. It isn't at all. Yani you've made it difficult upon yourself, or you consider it difficult upon yourself. But if I were to say to you that I need you to work for 18 hours without a break, and I'll pay you $1,000 a day, it wouldn't be hard. You'll find that is quite easy to do, you know what I mean? Because you're getting $1,000 a day, and there's no difficulty within that whatsoever. You wouldn't find any problem with that. I'm going to give you $1,000 a day, but you get no break, and you can't eat on the job. But I give you $1,000 a day. No drink, no food, no drink, and you're working. Yani, while the fasting person, there isn't any work, yeah, load. Food and drink, and you're working, and no break. 18 hours, but I give you £1,000 a day. Yeah, you wouldn't find any hardship or difficulty, or you need any fatwa for that. You wouldn't need any fatwa for that. So we really have to ask ourselves, ikhwan, in relation to some of the foolishness that we hear. Now, could you explain what are some of the most prolific signs that occur in Ramadan that show that the shayateen are chained up? As far as the ahadith that speak about the shayateen being chained up, then there are a number of riwayat. From those versions and from those riwayat is sufidat maradati shayateen. One version mentions tughallu maradati shayateen, and one version mentions tusalsilu maradati shayateen, that the maradati shayateen are yani chained. So one version is blatant in mentioning that the shayateen are chained, while another version mentions that they are, or the word that is used can be used to mean and refer to something that is restricted or someone that is restricted. Therefore, the scholars have differed concerning whether or not the chaining of the shayateen is a literal chaining, or is it that they're restricted. And the discussion revolves around the fact that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the shayateen, or that the shaytan, flows through the body of Ibn Adam majrad dam, yani like the flowing of blood. This term majrad dam, is it a reference to the same place that the blood flows in, yani that the shaytan flows around the body in the same place or through the same vessels or passageways that the blood flows in, or is it a reference to the shaitan flowing through the body or being present in the body in the same way or similar to the way that blood is in the body? Those who hold that the shaitan is in the body in a similar way to blood, then what they say is that the hadith refers to the fact that the shaitan is obscure within the body. Just as you don't realize and you don't sense the presence of blood within your body, but you know it's there. Similarly, the shaitan is present within the body. We don't sense it, i.e. we don't feel it moving around, but it is present. While the other group of scholars, they mention that the statement majraddam, yani that it flows through the body using the passageways of blood, then they say this is one of the ways in which the shaitan is restricted in Ramadan. Since it flows through the veins, the fasting person, when he fasts, then his veins are restricted. Therefore, the ability of the shaitan within the body is restricted because its passageways and the portals that it uses to move around the body are restricted upon him. While others mention that no, the hadith actually is a reference to the shayateen actually being chained, literally. Then of course, if we hold that position, the following question that usually arises is then how do we explain the presence of jinn or jinn activity in Ramadan, or people who are affected by jinn, yani being affected in Ramadan and it occurs, how is that explained? Sheikh Zam Taymiyyah, he mentions that the hadith that discusses the chaining of the shayateen speaks about a particular type of shaytan, that those hadith referred to maradati shayateen, yani the rebellious shayateen, yani the big evil shayateen. And so he mentions that it does not speak of and does not mention the evil jinn from among the Muslimin, and they exist. And just as evil Muslims carry out acts of evil sometimes worse than the acts of the kuffar, likewise among the jinn there are Muslim jinn who carry out acts of evil worse than the kuffar. And so the presence then of jinn related activity in Ramadan, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentions that that is not something that should confuse us or cause us to be to have any doubt or shak, since the Prophet ﷺ referred to one particular type of devil, and that is maradat al-shayateen. Therefore the presence of jinn activity in Ramadan is something that may be observed, and that doesn't oppose in any way these ahadith that speak of the chaining of the shayateen, or the restriction of the shayateen. But as far as some of the signs that the shayateen are chained up, then there's something that is observed, ikhwan, in relation to the wudu of Ramadan, in relation to the climate within Ramadan, the calm that is present within Ramadan, and that is something that is observable. That a person may see that when Ramadan and the month of Ramadan begins, there is something from, even here in the lands of the Kuffar, there is something of tranquility, and there is a different type of atmosphere during the month of Ramadan that is clearly observable, particularly in the last 10 nights. Particularly in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, there is a particular type of calm and tranquility that is present in the air in the month of Ramadan, which of course is coupled with the fact that the shayateen are restricted. Naturally, other than that, from any major sign, any prolific sign that this is a sign that you should look out for and it shows that the shayateen are restricted, then I don't know of any sign other than the observed, the observable calm that is present and tranquility that is present throughout the month of Ramadan, which does not oppose the presence, of course, of actions of evil and of evil activity coming from some of the jinn. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhir da'awana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Zakum Allah khair.